Well, our scripture reading for this afternoon should be very familiar to you all. By now, we bring our series on the disciples' warfare to a close this afternoon. And so if you turn in your Bibles once again to Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read once again from verse 10. Reading through to the end of verse 20, looking at the subject of prayer in relation to the disciples' warfare. Well, let's begin then at verse 10, and let us hear God's own holy, infallible, and errant, inspired word. And Paul is saying here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And amen. May God bless that reading of his own word. Well, congregation, if you turn then once again in your Bibles to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, and we'll read the concluding three verses from the section we've been studying, and verse 18, where Paul exhorts the believers there to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, this afternoon we're coming to the end of our series on the disciples' warfare. And this will be the 10th week that we've now spent studying this subject through the lens that we are given in Ephesians chapter 6, a chapter which, as we've seen, describes in great detail the armor which God has given his people to enable them to be and become all that they are called to be and capable of being as the recipients of his grace in Christ. And we should always remember, as we bring this study to a close, that this armor is part of the spiritual inheritance which the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ laid down his life to secure for his people. It was purchased for them at the cost of his own precious blood. And therefore, if we don't avail of ourselves of it, we're in grave danger of doing what Paul pled with the church in Corinth not to do there in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, not to receive the grace of God in vain, not to squander or malign the grace of God that we have received by failing to make use of it in the way that God intends us to do. And so I trust that you'll be mindful of these things as you go forward in your Christian life, child of God. For you see, there is a life of joy. There's a life of victory to be known by every child of God in Christ at whatever stage they are at, as they learn to see themselves in Christ, and as they learn to take up this armor and put it to use in the power of God's Spirit. And God doesn't want you or I to miss out on this life, child of God here. He wants you to know the abundant life that Christ died to give you through faith. And therefore, we should fear, as the writer to the Hebrews says in the opening verses of Hebrews chapter 4, lest the promise of God to us of entering into the rest of an abundant life on this side of eternity be left to us, and yet we come short of it, as was true of the people of Israel in the Old Testament. For remember, a land flowing with milk and honey, all of the good things the people of Israel in the Old Testament needed to enter into rest, to enjoy an abundant life. It was all set before them. And yet only two people, Caleb and Joshua, actually entered into the good of it by faith. And a whole generation of the covenant, people of Israel, they spent their years spinning their wheels in the wilderness, where they eventually perished because of their unbelief and their failure to take God at His word. And even though, as we read there, the gospel of the power and provision of God was preached to them, just as it is to us, it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith, as we read in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 4. And let us seek to be a people of faith then, who take God at His word, who press into the kingdom of God to receive all of the glorious blessings of our inheritance in Jesus Christ. For friends, they're there for the taking. For all those who will take the kingdom of God by a holy violence that lays hold of God in prayer and will not let Him go until He blesses us with all of the spiritual blessings which have been deposited for us in the Savior. And that brings us then, as we wrap up this subject of the disciples' warfare, to look at the vitally important matter of prayer in the life of a believer, or what John Bunyan calls the weapon of all prayer in his Pilgrim's Progress. And of course, that's an idea which he's drawing from the concluding verses of this section of Ephesians 6, which we've been studying. And so as we look at the subject of prayer, the essential role it has in our spiritual warfare, I want to look firstly at how we should pray, and then secondly at what we should pray for. Well, firstly then, let us look at what verses 18 to 20 of Ephesians 6 tell us about how we should pray. And you'll notice straight away that we're told in verse 18 that we're to be praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. And so immediately we see that there are certain key ingredients which make for an effective prayer life. And the first is that we pray always. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we give up everything in life? We lock ourselves away in a room, some monastery somewhere, and we spend the rest of our days praying all day long? Well, the phrase "praying always" is literally "at every opportunity." It's the same idea you have in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where you'll remember Paul writes to the believers there, and he tells them to pray without ceasing. And the Greek word translated "without ceasing," it was used of someone with a hacking cough, also of repeated military assaults. Now, someone with a hacking cough doesn't cough every second of every day. but rather they cough repeatedly and often. They don't go very long without coughing. And in the case of repeated military assaults, the army in question makes an assault. Then it regroups and attacks again and again until it conquers the city. Well, the idea here then is that in the same way we should pray often and repeatedly until we gain the thing that we are praying for. For you see, prayer is supposed to be the natural instinct of a child of God, whereby the motion of their soul is constantly in a Godward direction, whereby we go out to God whenever we become aware of any given need or a blessing in our lives. That's why John MacArthur, in commenting on this verse, he says that to obey this exhortation means that when we are tempted, we hold the temptation before God and ask for his help. When we experience something good and beautiful, we immediately thank the Lord for it. When we see evil around us, we pray that God will make it right and be willing to be used of him to that end. When we meet someone who does not know Christ, we pray for God to draw that person to himself and to use us to be a faithful witness in their life. And when we encounter trouble, we turn to God as deliverer. In other words, he says, our life becomes a continually ascending prayer, a perpetual communing with our Heavenly Father. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying that our lives are to be marked as Christians by constant prayer, because really we're called to live in an atmosphere of prayer, in the sense that prayer should be a common and consistent part of our lives as we continually interact in dialogue with God in the midst of all of the nitty-gritty details of life. Because you see, prayer for a Christian is really meant to be so much a part of their makeup that it becomes like breathing to them. It's something that's natural. It's something that's instinctive. That's why Martin Luther, when thinking of prayer as being the breath of the soul, he said that to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Because you see, when the Bible speaks about prayer, it's not talking about spending all our time on our knees in formal prayer. Of course, there's a place for that. But it's talking about a Godward heart that naturally goes out to God in all of the varied seasons of life. Because you see, the child of God is someone who has learned their absolute dependence on God in all things and for all things. But Paul says not only are we to be praying always, but we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And here Paul is saying that we're firstly to include all of the different forms or aspects of prayer in our prayers. Commentator Matthew Henry explains it as meaning with all kinds of prayer: public prayer, private prayer, secret prayer, social and solitary prayer, solemn and sudden prayer, with all of the parts of prayer: confession of sin, petition for mercy, and thanksgiving for favors received. You see, prayer is a multifaceted thing, works itself out in all of these different ways. Perhaps a helpful way to think about prayer, different kinds and parts of prayer that Paul has in mind here, is to think of the word acts, A-C-T-S. And boys and girls, if you think of the word Acts, you think of each of these letters, then each of these letters stands for a different part of prayer. And so when you think about prayer, remember that it includes adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And these are four different kinds of prayer that should be included in all of our lives. For we're to express, firstly, our adoration to God, our love for God from day to day, by praising Him, by worshiping Him, by giving Him His proper place in our lives and in our prayers. But prayer should also include confession. That means we're to confess our sins. We're to confess our needs to God on a daily basis. We're to ask God for forgiveness and for provision for those needs. But then we're also to employ supplication when we pray. In other words, we're to bring specific petitions and requests before God as we become aware of very definite needs that arise each day in our lives and the lives of others. But you see, then, when God answers our prayers, we should be looking in prayer for the return of our prayers, answers to prayers. But when God does answer our prayers, whenever He has met a need in response to prayer, then we're to give Him thanks for these things by a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. The second thing we need to note about all of these different ways of praying is that they all begin and end with God. For you see, prayer is essentially circular in nature. It begins with God. It ends with God. That's why Paul speaks about praying in the Spirit, about prayer as something that is directed to God. Because you see, not only is God the object of our prayers and supplications, but He is also the source from which they actually come. You see, all true prayer is spiritual in nature. It's something that is empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit who now indwells the believer in Christ. Which is why Paul says in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 2 that we now have access by one Spirit to the Father. And that's why it's so critically important then, as I've said over and over again, that we learn to walk in step with the Spirit. Because He's the only one who can give us access to the presence of God through Christ. And if you're here and you don't know where to begin in prayer, then this is the very place to start by saying, Lord, send me your Spirit to teach me to pray. And Lord, empower me by your Spirit to pray. If you see anything that we do that will be pleasing to God, it must be done in and through the enabling grace of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just enable us to pray. He also enables us to persevere and remain watchful or alert in prayer. And how we need His constant presence with us then. Because you see, our tendency is to lose focus in prayer, to feel so often like giving up on prayer, because we might think that our prayers are not going beyond the ceiling, that God is not hearing our prayer. But you see, we're not to give up when we don't see immediate results or answers to prayer. We're to keep on wrestling with God, waiting upon Him, believing that He is the hearer and answerer of prayer. And that means we're to remain alert and vigilant in our prayer lives, just like a sentry on guard duty, ready to go immediately to God in prayer. When we sense any danger or threat, whether it is from within or without. Well, friends, let prayer be the background music of our lives then. Let us learn to pray constantly for ourselves, and all of our own needs day by day as they arise. To bring all of your struggles, all of your concerns, all of your difficulties, all of your doubts, all of your fears, whatever it may be, bring it all to the God of all grace. For friends, the Bible assures us he's near to all those who call upon him. And remember then, there's nothing that can't be prayed for. And there's no situation in which prayer is never appropriate. But let us also remember to pray for others and for their needs. That's what I want to look at in the second place as we think more specifically about what we should actually be praying for. And we've already noted some of the things we're to pray for in relation to our own lives and the lives of others. But Paul expressly tells us here in verses 18 to 20. That we are to pray for all the saints, and for all of the servants of God, like Paul, that utterance may be given to them, that they may open their mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which they are ambassadors in chains, that they may speak boldly as they ought to speak. Well, we're to pray then for all the saints, Paul says. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that we're to pray for every single saint in the world by name. That's just simply not possible. There are literally millions of them, thankfully, in the world. And we only know a few of them by name. We can barely remember the ones we do know, never mind all of the others by name. But you see, it does mean that we're to have a burden. We ought to have a burden in our heart for the prosperity of the cause of Christ here on earth. And therefore, we are to pray in broad terms for the Church of Jesus Christ, wherever it's found, all over the face of this globe. Because we need to always remember there is only one body of Christ, and we're all members one of another, as Paul writes elsewhere. And therefore, we ought to have a care and a concern for all of the other members of the body of Christ and their well-being, regardless of what denomination they happen to belong to. Our desire would be that they would be growing, that they would be maturing in the life of faith and in their effectiveness at serving others. And let us pray for our brothers and sisters, especially in other parts of the world, where they are facing persecution, opposition, in countries where they don't enjoy the liberties that you and I do, that we can take so easily for granted. Pray for these brothers and sisters, that they would be enabled to remain strong, committed to the Bible, in the face of all of these things. And we should be praying as Christ did, that the church would be united, be of one mind, one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, so that the kingdom of God in all nations, it would advance, and the reign of God would be established in the hearts and lives of his people, and his will done here on earth as it is in heaven. And to that end, we should be earnest in crying out to God then to send out laborers into the world to make known the mystery of the gospel. For friends, as Jesus reminded us, the harvest is plentiful, and yet the laborers are so few. And let us lift up our brothers and sisters in the mission field then, who are laboring, oftentimes at risk to their own lives, that they would be emboldened to preach the gospel, to reach the lost with the saving message of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Let us pray for all who labor in the word and doctrine in congregations from week to week, year in and year out, that God would strengthen and sustain them to keep on keeping on in the face of difficulties and challenges. And let us cry out to God to open the windows of heaven, to pour out a blessing on them and their ministry, so that we would see revival breaking out from one end of the earth to the other. And friends, let's not forget to pray for our own federation, all of the ministers and elders and office bearers who are engaged in seeking the advancement of Christ's kingdom here in North America. Pray for our students. Pray for the work of the seminary in Grand Rapids. All of the professors and staff who labor there to equip and prepare others for a life of ministry and service in the kingdom of God. These are all ways we're to pray for the saints in the Church of Jesus Christ. But friends, let us remember most of all to pray for our own congregation, all of the various activities and ministries that we are involved in here and in our community. You see, remember, it's only the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich. Only God can give the increase. And anything we do then that doesn't have the blessing of God upon it, it will be of no true value. And let us pray for one another, that the spirit of unity and harmony would prevail among us, especially in these challenging times when so many congregations and churches are having to try to navigate their way through all of the difficulties that COVID has created. And let us not forget that Satan is a master opportunist. You can be sure he's doing everything he can to try and bring disruption and disunity into the church through this pandemic. Let us be on our guard then against his devices. Let us bear one another's burdens so that we can fulfill the law of Christ. Love one another as we're called to do and bear with one another. And friends, I urge you to remember myself and the other brothers on consistory and all of the work we're called to do. Because I can assure you, it's not always easy work. And we need wisdom from God to do it. And we're just weak and frail men, just like every one of us, who desperately need your prayers to enable us to serve you and lead this congregation well. And I ask you from the bottom of my heart to remember me in prayer from week to week, as I seek to preach and shepherd you as your pastor. Our Lord knows I feel my own inadequacies and utter insufficiency to fulfill my calling among you. And so I covet your prayers more than anything else for my ministry among you, that I would be enabled to speak boldly to you as I ought, that I wouldn't keep back anything from you that would be helpful to you, even if at times you may not always appreciate it. For you see, one day I will have to give an account to God for my ministry among you. And I trust I will be able to do so with a clear conscience, because I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, as Paul could say about his own ministry. Well, brothers and sisters, we all need one another's prayers. We all need to be in prayer for ourselves, for others from day to day. Because let us not forget, we're in a spiritual warfare. We're in the midst of enemies who are seeking our destruction. And my dear friend, if we hope to stand against them, then we must be a people of prayer. You see, in effect, prayer is really the Christian's declaration of their dependence upon God. It's also the way in which we take up and put on the armor of God, which is, we've seen, at least I certainly hope you've seen, we simply cannot be without. If we want to successfully fight the good fight of faith, as one of the old hymns says so well then, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on by with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. And however hard at times the battle may be, let us always remember what a privilege it is to be able to carry everything to God in prayer. Because you see, that's what's so amazing about prayer. We now have access to God through prayer because we have a great high priest who's even now seated at the right hand of God. And my friend, he's able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. And child of God, hear, you have a friend in Jesus then. He's with you in this fight that you're called to engage in. He always will be with you in this fight. And my dear friend, he knows all your weaknesses better than you do. And he's able to strengthen and sustain you from day to day, to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to go on standing. And so keep on looking to him for all that you need from day to day. For my dear friend, his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And let us learn then to come boldly, to come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. And let us make use of the Lord Jesus as he lives to represent us in all of our needs in the very throne room of heaven itself. For as the hymn writer says so well, beautiful words, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. To thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen.
Let us come with a prayer of thanksgiving to God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do have
your ear through Christ, that there's never a time when we cannot find our way to you. And we do pray, Lord, that we would be emboldened then in our spirits to come like a little child. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the heart of a child that knows what it is to find our way to a throne of grace, to call out to you in all of our need, to hold nothing back, to live in an honest and open and transparent way before you, bringing all of our cares, however small, however great, that we would learn the joy of living in constant interaction and dialogue with you, that we would go through every day in a prayerful frame of spirit, that whenever anything arises that would unsettle us or cause us alarm, that we would see that it is simply another opportunity to cast ourselves upon your care, to find that there is an ever-flowing supply of grace from your throne to us through Christ by the Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring us to know you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the joy of walking with you, the joy of having on the armor that we have been looking at over these past 10 weeks. We pray, Lord, that we would see that it is sufficient to accomplish the end for which it has been given, to enable us to stand strong by your grace, to stand against our enemies, to overcome them. And we do pray, Lord, that we would have on this armor, that we would make good use of it. And Lord, when we do find ourselves falling, we pray, Lord, that we would see that you are always there to pick us back up again, just like a father would or a mother would pick up their little one, to put us back on our feet, to enable us to carry on. And we do pray, Lord, that we would find your strength and your grace day by day, moment by moment, all of us individually, as families, and in this new week now begun, help us to lean upon you, help us to depend upon you, help us to call out to you in every time of trouble. We do pray, Lord, you'd bless your word this afternoon. We realize that you are the God of the harvest, only you can give the increase. And though the word may be sown and watered, only you can bless it, Lord. And so we cry out to you. We lift up our voices and we do pray that all of us would be coming here from week to week prayerfully, asking your blessing not only on me, but on the word. And we do pray that we would be a people of prayer who pray for your people across the face of the globe, who cry out to you to bless your cause and kingdom, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Abide with us and keep us then in all things. Go before us and lead us in the way that is right. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.